And I will move to our regular board meeting for March 27th, Civic San Diego. May I have roll call, please?
Chair Vasquez, Vice Chair Shaw, Treasurer Kilkenny, and Directors Jenkins and Rath are present. Directors Robinson, Avila, Russell, and Geisler are expected.
Thank you. Non-agenda public comment?
There are none.
Disclosures, ex parte communications? Director Jenkins? All right. Item number four, potential agenda items? None? Item number five, corporation report.
Thank you very much. In terms of briefings for the month of March, staff met with Councilmember Sherman, Kate, Montgomery, and Marie. We also met with representatives from Council District 2, 3, 5, 8, and 9. Staff met with the Downtown San Diego Partnership, Eric Caldwell, the Deputy Chief Operating Officer, and Director Russell and myself met with Representative Susan Davis. Staff attended the lunch, or actually Civic hosted the Lunch and Learn on March 1st in Logan Heights. There were over 60 attendees at that event. And on March 14th, staff attended the CDFI Coalition Annual Conference and met with Senator Feinstein, Senator Harris, Speaker Pelosi's to provide information on the New Market Tax Credit Program as well as CDFI institution. In terms of disclosures, I did want to highlight to the board that we intend to enter into a contract with Hughes Moreno as it relates to the corporation's office lease. Staff issued an RFP in December 2018. There was for commercial real estate services. There were six firms that responded. All six of those firms were deemed responsive to the RFP. It sought services for more than just office lease space. So all six firms were placed on a bench. Staff interviewed three of the firms specific to representing us for our office lease and selected Hughes Moreno as the most responsive bidder. At this point in time, given the short amount of time that's left on our lease, I felt it was prudent to begin the processing of that contract so that it was in place. I wanted to disclose it to the board today. It will be disclosed to the audit committee in April, but we have about 14 months left on this lease and we need to get moving fairly quickly. So I wanted to start this process. In terms of Valencia Business Park, there was a request at the prior board meeting for an update on that project. City and civic staff are currently negotiating with the developer as it relates to the site, but we have to concurrently negotiate a compensation agreement with the county. So we are essentially doing two concurrent negotiations, one with the county as it relates to the redevelopment wind down, if they will approve a compensation agreement, as well as with the developer for the potential development of that site. In terms of announcements, I want to welcome Bill Chopik. Bill Chopik has officially, you've seen him in the past, but he's officially joined the corporation and he's been working as a planning project manager on a temporary basis since August. Bill brings more than 30 years of progressive experience in planning and community development. He's most recently served as the community development director in the city of La Mesa, as well as the city of Solana Beach. He's also worked for several years as assistant director and planning manager for the San Diego Unified Port District. Bill holds a Bachelor of Science in Urban Planning from the University of Utah and a Master's of Public Administration from the College of Notre Dame. He's a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners and associate member of the American Institute of Architects. And welcome, Bill. And then we have a team civic spotlight. I want to highlight Wanda Nations. This month, the spotlight is on Wanda. Wanda joined Civic San Diego in June of 2012. She serves as the principal accountant, managing the successor agency, and probably the largest tax, which is the annual reporting of the ROPS to the Department of Finance and getting that cleared through the county oversight board. She has successfully managed the preparation and submission of 11 of the ROPS filings and most recently completed the 13th ROPS. Last year, Wanda assumed the responsibility as the contracting and solicitation functions. She's effectively managed the successor agency accounting and ROPS duties along with Civic San Diego's contracting processes as she continues to work with the city with the wind down of the successor agency accounting. Wanda holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from Mississippi College. So join me in thanking Wanda for her service. And that concludes my comments.
Any questions? Thank you. Moving on to our consent agenda. Director Jenkins?
Yes, could we add items 10 and 12 to the consent agenda? I'm sorry, 11 and 12.
11 and 10, 12?
I'll second.
Second. Okay, let's vote on consent agenda.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Item number 9. This is
Good evening. Good afternoon. My name is Nicole Perret, Civic San Diego. The item before you today is the Millview Event Center appeal. It's CUP/NUP number 2018-45. It's a request for indoor live entertainment and on-site alcohol sales. And before I begin, I just wanted to mention that we received a public comment today, which was available to you and available for the members of the public in opposition of the project. So the Millview Event Center is a proposed private event venue located in an existing one-story commercial building on the west side of 7th Avenue between Broadway and C Street in the East Village neighborhood of the downtown community plan area. The project is surrounded by a variety of uses, including the five-story Trolley Lofts building to the north, which has retail on the ground floor and apartment units on the upper levels, and the future Broadway block to the east. These are a few photos of the site. Building improvements are currently underway to convert the existing building to its intended use as a private event space. The space consists of an open floor plan main room and a commercial kitchen, a bridal suite, and two restrooms. The applicant describes the venue as a function hall style facility available for private hosted events such as corporate functions, birthday parties, weddings. In the bottom of the left, hand bottom photo, you can see that the ceiling level ends at the top of the windows. I know the member of the public opposed did mention that the ceiling is adjacent to the second story residential units, but that's actually just a kind of fake parapet that extends beyond the actual ceiling height. So the required permits were a CUP for indoor amplified live entertainment and an NUP for the sale of alcoholic beverages for on-site consumption. And the permits were approved by the Civic San Diego hearing officer on February 7th, 2019 at a duly held noticed public hearing. Prior to the public hearing, staff received comments from members of the public, two in opposition, and we also received a recommendation from the San Diego Police Department. The police department supported the project, and they recommended conditions for security and line queuing and for no off-site alcohol sales, and also for limiting the on-site alcohol hours. On February 19, 2019, Civic San Diego received an appeal application by Mr. Fish, and he's the owner of the Trolley Lofts adjacent to the north of the project. On the appeal application, the appellant listed findings not supported as the reason for his appeal, and the application stated that he believes more of an effort should be made to shield the adjacent Trolley Lofts building and its residents from noise and vibrations. Just quickly, I'll show a slide of the floor plan. You can see the live entertainment in red there towards 7th Avenue and the 500 square foot dance floor area in blue. And the on-site alcohol sales will be served from a mobile bar cart and shown in yellow. So as I described in the staff report that went to the hearing officer, there are several establishments in the vicinity that have been granted CUPs for live entertainment. These show the CUPs in the vicinity. The majority of them are not currently operating with live entertainment, but they do have valid permits for the most part. So A noise impact study was required because it's adjacent to residential uses, and the noise impact analysis was conducted by Elar Associates. The interior noise level was tested at a level of 95 decibels, which is a maximum level the applicant would ever plan to conduct live entertainment. This is an extremely high decibel level. It would be difficult to have any type of normal conversation, so it's likely that it would be under that, but they tested it at the maximum level. And the test concluded that noise mitigation was required along 7th Avenue in order to meet the noise ordinance. They suggested that a 1-inch dual pane glazing system on 7th Avenue would mitigate the noise to make it within the noise limits. And the analysis also recommended soundproofing the property using door and window seals and an acoustically resilient caulking and sealing compound in all openings and cracks. So in response to the appellant's concerns over the northern wall, the northern wall is made of a 10-inch block masonry wall, and there is a 3-millimeter gap between the north wall and the adjacent trolley lofts building. And the noise mitigation report did do an estimate of the STC, which is the rating of how well the partition would attenuate the noise, and the noise would attenuate well within the noise ordinance, so it would be barely able to hear with both of those walls adjacent to each other. So that's why there was no mitigation measures to further insulate that wall. And the roof was predicted an STC of 41 in the noise study, which was included in the staff report to the hearing officer as well. Any rating above 50 would be faintly heard and not audible, and none of the mitigation measures would included insulating this wall further. So the public comment that we received today also mentioned that the units, there's some residential units on the ground floor of the Trolley Lofts building. You can see in the photo to the left the 7th Avenue facade of the Trolley Lofts. So to staff's knowledge, both of these facades don't have any ground floor residential units, and there's no interior courtyard. So if there were any units in the interior on the southwest corner, then they wouldn't be receiving any light in there. So I'm not sure if where that information, if it's accurate or not. So staff recommended several key conditions that were included in the hearing officer report. The draft key conditions included implementation of all of the mitigation measures that were provided in the noise impact analysis. And we did leave out a standard condition, which is that the applicant is to conduct a second noise study once the sound equipment is installed in the venue, and that way it can be tested to make sure it's in compliance with the San Diego Noise Ordinance before any live entertainment starts at the venue. So with that, staff is recommending that the Civic San Diego Board of Directors denies the appeal and uphold the hearing officer decision subject to the conditions and with the added condition that was left out of the draft permit. And I also have the applicant here. Any questions about the acoustical study? He did speak with the acoustical engineer prior to the hearing. Yeah.
We have two speakers. We have Joseph Fitch, and you're in opposition.
I'm Joseph Fitch. I'm the managing member of SCEFS that owns the adjacent five-story building just to the north of the project that's under consideration. And I wasn't able to hear everything that Ms. Paré said, and it sounded as if there were some additional conditions that may have been placed since the decision of the hearing officer, unless I misunderstood the last time. This is an apartment house. We have an obligation and we have an agreement with the city to rent it to moderate income people. These are basically young people in their 30s and 40s, perhaps some in their 20s. They have to get a good night's sleep, and they have to get up in the morning and go to work. And even though this is called an event center, I think that probably the operators can turn it into a nightclub without too much difficulty using supposed sponsors for each evening's event. Even during the initial tenant improvements that the operator was making, the reverberations through the wall affected our units. We have three or four residential units, even on the first floor. Excuse me if I'm too close to that. As a matter of fact, just some of the remodeling caused breakage on our wall, because the walls are abutting one another. This particular portion of the street is residential. Sure, there are lots of commercial establishments nearby, but this area is meant to be for residences. And I would urge the board to take a fresh look at this entire thing. It's only two or three blocks from here. Even to walk over there and see what exists there. About 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, there was a nightclub or an event center across the street, and we had continuous problems with them. As a matter of fact, a lawsuit resulted. Late at night, the people would come out and yell and shout for their parking or speak into their iPhones, and there was shooting involved. The police were there, even though they had some sort of a guard or a bouncer there. There were still problems, and it still woke up our people that were facing 7th Street there. This, supposedly, this organization is for building of neighborhoods. Well, we're neighbors, and I don't think that we would be, I don't think that having an event center or a nightclub next to us would be a good place for neighbors to dwell together.
Excuse me. I believe our system isn't working, but you're limited to 3 minutes, and I'll give you a little bit more, but we're at that point. So can you wrap it up, please?
Well, I will try. If there's alcohol that's being imbibed there, there's going to be drugs as well. There's going to be shouting outside, and I appreciate the fact that some conditions are being placed on the front windows and the doors, but we're going to have reverberations from the walls themselves if there's live entertainment and live music. We all have passed cars in the street where there's boomboxes going on in the car, even though our windows are closed and the boombox driver's windows are closed, and we still couldn't wait in order to get past those cars because of the reverberations and the sounds. So I would urge you to take a fresh look at this. Even though perhaps the study that was conducted in order to approve what the hearing officer said, this is a unique situation. This isn't just another event center. This is different because it's right next to where people live and have to sleep and have to get up in the morning to work. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We have a speaker in favor, Mr. Gary Smith.
Somebody must have kicked it and unplugged it. That's okay. I'm experienced enough to keep it under 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Directors Gary Smith, President of San Diego Downtown Residents Group. The concerns expressed by the previous speaker are something that you all and we have always taken seriously. That's one of the reasons why we require these event centers and nightclubs and everything else to get an acoustic consultant in there. We have been extremely happy with all of the different consultants over the years in that they have identified the weaknesses and put out the mitigation measures that must be put in place to ensure the place meets the code. As for the other half of that, this is a mixed-use neighborhood. Almost all of downtown is a mixed-use neighborhood. We in the past have withdrawn CUPs from two different establishments who have violated the terms of their CUPs. So it's not something that'll go on forever if they make a nuisance of themselves. Code enforcement now has actually a person who is on call 7 days a week. Right now he's spending 3/4 of his time out in Pacific Beach, but hey, that's the way it is. This is not the gas lamp. It is in a residential neighborhood, and you can believe that we'll be paying attention. And when we pay attention, if there's violations, that person will be back before the hearing officer to have a CUP either modified or removed. So we would urge you to send this forward because the safeguards are in place. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Director Rath.
Thank you. I have a couple questions about the permit and the conditions. Mr. Smith made several good points, but I'll reiterate the reason we mandate these facilities to have a conditional use permit is so that we can deal with potential problems before they happen by writing in specific conditions. And so I want to walk through a few of those and make sure I understand what's in these conditions. The first one is this new condition you're listing. Is this a new condition since the hearing officer decision, or did it was in there and then it disappeared and now it's back?
Yeah, it should have been in there. It was left out.
Gotcha. Okay. And this, as I understand it, basically requires an outside consultant to do some noise measuring at the adjacent property and others.
Yeah, so typically whenever we have a noise study always required for if it's adjacent to residential, and when that noise study is required, they would have to do the secondary study before opening with the live entertainment by the same person would do the noise study.
Gotcha. And then in the rest of the conditions somewhere, do we have some sort of condition that allows us, in the event that noise and reverberation is occurring over a certain threshold into the neighboring properties, that is in violation of the permit?
Yeah. So if there is enough complaints, sorry, I should have listed that as a key condition. If the Civic San Diego receives enough complaints and they're valid complaints, it can be revoked and a hearing will be scheduled.
Okay. Great. Well, this is this is always concerning. I appreciate the neighboring property owners' concerns. I will say that we deal with many of these permits in pretty much every neighborhood in downtown. I'm also not aware of any neighborhood of downtown that is exclusively a residential neighborhood, and certainly not the core would I characterize as that. It is a mixed-use neighborhood that happens to have a large amount of residential right next to this site. But there is the House of Blues right nearby, and I would also argue in the evening time into the late evening, more activation would probably be healthy for the area rather than detrimental. If you've ever spent much time in the core after about 6 p.m. when all the people wearing ties go home, I'm looking at you, Ted, and myself sometimes. It could use a little more people power, frankly. And House of Blues, while it gets a little rowdy, it also creates a certain amount of activity that I think is helpful in an urban environment. I would also encourage the property owner that we have revoked CUPs lately. We have a facility in Little Italy that was oddly similar in layout to this, front windows and the whole thing. And they were problematic neighbors, and the complaints were well-founded, and we shut them down with not a whole lot of regard for their promising to do better in the future. So I recognize that there may be impacts that occur, but I'm also willing to, with these conditions in there, I'm willing to take a chance because we can reverse it later. I think it's very hard to reverse the opposite. If we deny the permit, nothing ever happens and we'll never know. But I am certainly open to, if the walls are vibrating in the middle of the night all the time, then we have a problem. But that would violate the permit, and we have a procedure to fix that or revoke it if they don't fix it. And I'm sure the applicant knows that we'll be watching very closely and keep tabs on their operations. So I'm certainly comfortable with the application, and I would move that we deny the appeal and uphold the hearing officer.
Thank you. Anybody else? Director Russell?
No, I must thank you. I did review the conditions, and I think very substantial amount of information about how the layout, the technical specifications for how events will be conducted there. So I think a lot of due diligence has been done. I will be prepared to support the motion as well.
Anybody else? I have a question about the difference between being this an event center, and he specified that it could be turned into a nightclub. What?
So live entertainment could be permitted as a nightclub. There is a condition in there stating that the primary use is as an event center. So they would have to do a substantial conformance review or amend the permit in order to have a nightclub.
So they would have to go through additional process?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right, anybody else? All right, then if there's no other, please vote.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to item 10, Mr. Bedard.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. For the record, my name is Gustavo Bedart, and I oversee the economic development activities at Civic San Diego. I'm also joined today by Leslie Reynolds, who is the executive director for Groundworks. And together, at the conclusion of the presentation, we'll be both very happy to answer any questions that you may have. Before you today is the following requested action: that the Board of Directors for Civic San Diego authorize staff to establish a fiscal sponsorship relationship with Groundworks San Diego, where allowable and applicable, enter into a project agreement with Groundworks, and to solicit and apply for a working line of credit with U.S. Bank in support of fiscal sponsorship activity. By way of background, you may remember early in 2017, the Board encouraged the staff to identify alternative funding sources so to continue Civic San Diego's mission to revitalize the city's underserved urban neighborhoods and implementing economic development programs. In Q4 of 2017, the board also approved the establishment of a fiscal program that would help generate modest revenue, leveraging the agency's 501c3, and accept grants and sponsorships on behalf of the organization or the organizations that support community investment activities to improve the living conditions of disadvantaged or emerging neighborhoods, but may or may not have the nonprofit status or capacity of staff to receive grants from private foundations, government, or other agencies and sponsors. Since February, Civic San Diego staff, along with Groundworks San Diego leadership, have been exploring numerous funding and fiscal sponsorship scenarios that could be awarded to Groundworks San Diego and benefit the areas along Choyas Creek. Groundworks is an environmental enhancement nonprofit organization empowered by the city to restore Choyas Creek watershed through citizenship engagement. Groundworks was founded in 2007 at the request of the city to lead a master plan for Choyas Creek watershed. Initial funding came from the EPA, or the Environmental Protection Agency, and the California Endowment in recognition of the role an environment plays in the well-being of low-income citizens and communities. The master plan entitled is the Choyas Creek Enhancement Program was developed through an extensive stakeholder collaboration that represented neighborhoods, community planning groups, nonprofits, and the faith-based institutions across the watershed. Its vision is to recover the pre-urbanization beauty of the natural resources of the region through education, advocacy, and compelling environmental design. Moreover, due to the limited staff capacity, groundwork where allowable may recruit Civic San Diego or has expressed an interest in recruiting Civic San Diego to provide its engineering services, construction management, and program management for the development of the respective infrastructure and facilities on behalf of groundwork while maintaining an expeditious and cost-effective process to implement projects as described in the awarded grants to groundwork. Lastly, as part of this agreement, staff also recommends obtaining a line of credit to help with cash flow for the project. If approved, this line of credit would serve as a small bridge loan. A small bridge loan that would help expenses of the Choya Creek improvements while groundwork awaits for reimbursement from the awarded grant from IRWIM or the Integrated Regional Water Management to Groundworks and committed to a specific Choya Creek improvement. As it pertains to the fiscal sponsorship arrangement, Civic San Diego would be compensated by charging an administrative fee or a percentage of the awarded funds for its handling, processing, compliance, redistribution of the awarded funds. It's anticipated that serving in this capacity could generate somewhere between 5 and 10% of potential collected funds. In summary, it's a staff recommendation to the board to authorize staff to establish a fiscal sponsorship relationship with Groundworks. Again, where applicable and allowable, enter into a project agreement with Groundwork, and to be able to solicit and apply for a working line of credit with U.S. Bank in support of its fiscal sponsorship activity. This concludes my presentation. Thank you. And Mrs. Reynolds and I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Do you have any speakers on this? Directors?
I guess a question, what's our general exposure on this? I mean, I like the idea. Choice Creek has long been neglected, and this is a great opportunity for us to contribute to the community. What's the likelihood of these grants coming through?
I would look to Groundworks on the likelihood of the grant. Once the grant is awarded and it's there, then our exposure is we're leveraging our balance sheet and processing it through. We do have a healthy balance sheet, but I do think it would be prudent to have a line of credit. My understanding is reimbursement from the grantor could take anywhere from 90 to 120 days. We may have to float a couple months worth of that. And so in the event that we have outstanding award coming in, we wouldn't begin the project until we knew the award was granted, but then our exposure is we're waiting for that money to come in, but that's why we're asking for a line of credit. If we get too far along, we do have a safety net to rely on that line of credit.
Okay, that's helpful. Can you talk a little bit about the grants that you're pursuing?
Yes, I'd also like to introduce our board president. I didn't realize he could be with us today, but this is Darryl Williams, founding board member, also former SEDC board member, so Darryl's here, too, to answer questions if you have them. In terms of this particular grant, Integrated Regional Water Management, it comes out of the State Department of Water Resources, and I think we have a high likelihood of getting the funding. This would be to do a trail construction and dechannelization water quality improvement project on Federal Boulevard in the community of Webster, so it would be a really important project. With great thanks to Gustavo and staff and others for getting us to this point, we have labored under many, many years the constraint of gap funding for large, usually state awards. And so it's been almost impossible for us to apply for these public benefit grants because we haven't had the ability to carry them. Ordinarily, the carrying time is, as I think you properly mentioned, probably 3, sometimes 6 months. Obviously, the funds do eventually come from the state, but as a reimbursable grant, it's very hard for us to carry all of this all the time.
Yeah. Great. I appreciate that. With that, I would move approval.
Director Russell.
Yes. I will start off by saying that I agree with my fellow directors. This is a marvelous project. This is important regionally. I mean, this is very important, and thank you for the work that you've been doing on this. And I know that it takes decades of persistence, and I know from my work in City Heights that it takes people like you to keep that flame going all these times. I think the questions asked about our exposure are the important ones. I feel comfortable that our exposure is contained, it seems to me that this is the role we need to be playing as Civic San Diego, is to permit, not just permit, to facilitate these things moving along, that we can be a catalyst for already the work that's been done on the ground. And so I'm very, more than just happy to vote for this, I'm enthusiastic about this partnership and look forward to our being an ongoing part of this process.
Excuse me. Anybody else? I have a question. Is there a sunset to this agreement?
Not particularly, Chairman. I'm going to assume that Groundworks has multiple improvements and projects in the life and longevity of your mission.
Yeah, if I could just add, there are Prop 68 bond funds coming out of the state of California now with actual carve-outs for low-income communities like the Choyas Creek watershed neighborhoods, and so we would hope that this could be an ongoing relationship. We know that some state legislators, including Todd Gloria, are working to try to improve this so that DAC low-income communities aren't burdened with gap funding. But until that occurs at the gubernatorial level, let's say, we would really love to have this relationship.
The fund of the fiscal sponsorship and multiple programs and multiple awards can be leveraged for the agencies. So it could be similar or they can be entirely different.
I don't anticipate this happening, but how would we, if we wanted to say we wanted to terminate this, what would be the mechanism?
Well, I think if we were in a relationship to on an award of a particular project, once that was finished, that would be the end of that particular awarded project that we're supporting. I would suppose that we would be in continued communication where you say, here comes the second or here comes the third, do you want to assist us? The relationship's already been established, the fiscal sponsorship agreement's already been established, so it would be a conversation between the parties.
There will be a technical language in the documents that are formalized to address that concern.
Thank you. Director Rath.
I just want to make sure I understand this. So there's basically two components to this. Number one is a contract. We're going to be a contract service provider to manage some stuff that y'all don't have in-house and would have to hire someone else to do.
You may be, yes.
Oh, okay, possibly.
Yeah.
Great. And then the second is a credit instrument that is basically a bridge loan between when you are given the grant and when money actually shows up. And so the credit instrument, I presume, tell me if this is right, that we will not extend any credit funds until an enforceable grant agreement has been given out by the government, which is a little bit risky because they tend to change their mind about things. But there's a stage in the process before we would extend funds. Is that right?
That is correct. We would not extend any funds until, or pull down any line of credit until we have the grant in place.
That makes sense to me.
The official award would be, in some cases, the collateralization, if you will, of the work to be done.
Exactly. That makes sense. Okay. Just want to make sure. Thanks.
All right. We have a first and a second. Is no more discussion? Please vote.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you all very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that is our normal business. We will. Oh yeah, I'd like to enter into the record that Mr. Smith wanted to speak on item number 12, and we put that on consent. Do you wish to address, or is that fine? Just your move, your approval. All right. Thank you. So we're taking a break until 2:30, and the court reporter comes in so we can go into closed session.